on my way home and I wanted to talk about change. I want to reflect on how we should be growing and we should be able to look back maybe 5, 7, maybe 10 years ago and see a different person in the present times. And maybe even look back and reflect on how we thought then or how we behaved then or where we were at in our lives and look at that person and be able to now stand here and say, wow, I think I've grown. I see a change in me. Sometimes when I look back and I see the old person, I'm inclined to be disgusted maybe by the old person that I used to be. So instead of saying to myself, oh, that was me before I knew better, I tend to look at that person like, what was wrong with you? I'm just real critical of that person. But the reality of it is, it's just that I've grown now. Thank God that now I'm able to be different, see things differently. You know, within my job, I have seen such a growth in my ability to teach and to help those with disabilities. Now that I have, you know, a couple years under my belt. So I'm pushing towards a couple years and I think about some of the ways I handled things in the beginning and some of the ways I thought, and it's almost, I almost wonder if I didn't let some of those students down a little because I just didn't know as much as I do now. And now I certainly, I have a way of even saying things that I know clarifies so much when you're talking with people with disabilities. So, I look back on the person that I used to be years ago, and I'm really critical of that person because now I've grown and I know more. And I don't give the old person as much grace. And I'm like, what was wrong with you? And I'm just so critical of her. But at the same time, I think of that scripture that says, you know, much known, much required. You know, the more that you know, the more that's required of you. And I know that even in those days where I would do things, say things, or kind of be locked into my own thinking and not being able to think outside my box, that my intentions were good. But I also think that, you know, I look at situations with other people that I know personally, and I'm wondering, you know, why haven't they changed over this many years? What's going on? And the way things have turned out for them hasn't really been beneficial. It keeps repeating itself. The cycle keeps repeating itself, and you find it's sad. They reject any kind of new thinking. That's sure, for sure. And you look at the situation and you're like, well, if they would sometimes reflect within themselves, that would be so helpful. But it's almost, you know, insulting to suggest such a thought that, you know, I'm not trying to be, you know, negative toward anybody, but I have someone that's that's been very involved in my life. And this person has a same cycle conversation. You know, it just never really, it doesn't get any better. If anything, it gets worse. And a lot of the times it's due to their own thinking, and it's due to their, that they just refuse to change. And you just listen to them, you know, because nothing you say would cause them to reflect or think differently. You literally are just kind of almost a victim to the conversation that they keep repeating with you over the last 10, 15 years. And there have been times I've tried to share with them, you know, a real God perspective, a positive perspective, that different way of thinking, the thinking that's clear-minded, that's pure, not the toxic, the way the enemy wants us to see it. But it's almost like you feel like you've said something to offend them, and you literally, over the time, you try to realize, you finally realize to yourself, it's, you just save yourself in the conversation. You don't try to help them. You just, because all they really want is you to listen. So you kind of, they truly only want someone to just keep listening to them complain, nag, and be kind of negative. And you just, you're there to listen. It's very difficult. It's a very heavy burden to carry with somebody that, and honestly, with this particular person, this person doesn't care about me. It's just, he knows that I'm compassionate, and I'm, a part of my calling is compassion and love and life coaching and helping people spiritually, a lot of counseling. That's who I am. So he uses that with me, but he never wants any advice, and he never wants any suggestions, or, you know, just, he doesn't even want a prophecy from God. And if he does, maybe it just isn't that he wants it from me. But it's a very heavy burden to carry with somebody. They just keep, because ultimately, you know, I care for this person, and I like to see them at peace. And I've tried to, I've exhausted all sources as far as my helping him, but at the same time, you just have to be, you're just there to listen and let them get things off their chest about the same old, that, you know, they could change, but they don't see they could change it, nor would they change it. It's almost, it's like there's this block there, and they're just determined to do it this way, and it's just the way it is. But, you know, I think of people who just never change. They're that way 30, 40, 50 years, never change. And I think I have spent my entire life trying to change. I've been so analytical, and I have examined my life so much, maybe to an awful extreme. But nonetheless, it's been something that's been a passion to me. We grew up, you know, my mom included, she grew up in a rough home, but we kind of grew up where there was a lot of, you know, bondage. There wasn't, you know, we weren't walking in the goodness of God. We believed in God, and we tried at times to serve him as kids and things of that nature, and the adults did, but we weren't walking in the goodness of God. We weren't walking in, you know, that whole I'm blessed and highly favored. That wasn't us. I mean, I'm sure God had his hands upon us, but we didn't make decisions in wisdom. We weren't doing things in the order of, in an order that would cause us to receive blessings. So the adults were just, you know, they didn't handle the relationships well at all. Kids were exposed to relationships that were toxic, relationships that were unloving, communication. The children were exposed to communication between adults that were, you know, perverse, toxic, obviously, but just real vile. So the children grew up in a home where, you know, everything that's being exposed before them isn't healthy and doesn't, it's not going to multiply, and you're not going to have fruits that bear. You're not going to bear fruits. So that's how it was. But see, for me, going through all of this, I couldn't match scripture with the life I had in God. And I mean, I was just bold enough to talk to God and say, your scripture says this. My life doesn't look like that. Why? If your scripture says, I will have peace, then why am I constantly at war? If your scripture says, I am blessed and highly favored, then why do I feel the least among man? And why am I poor? And why do I have emotional, you know, wounds that are killing and destroying me? And so for me, it was a matter of what's wrong and what do I need to do to get right in order to have the scriptures match my life. And so I ventured off the next part of my life doing that. And man, that was, it's not easy to change your DNA. It's not easy to change the cycle that's been cycling down for the last 3 or 4 generations at least. And now all of the sudden you're wanting to stop seeing life and communicating and behaving in life the way that you've seen, the only way that you've ever seen it and been exposed to it. And when you want to do that, it doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in a year. But it takes a decade. It takes decades, it seems like, for complete healing and reconstruction and just really walking a brand new life. I didn't want my children to be under the same generational cycles and what I call generational curses. And I knew that for my own sanity, I was trying to get it right for myself because I was losing my mind in this stuff. And I needed to get it right. And I needed that script. I told the Lord once, I said, Father, well, more than once, I said, if you want me, and I held the Bible up, if you want me to preach this word, teach this word, and believe in this word has got to play out in my life. And it is not playing out in my life. How can I teach faith when I believe I have faith and yet my life is not matching what these scriptures are saying? Something's wrong. And I knew enough to know that there wasn't something wrong with God. But something was wrong and I needed total exposure. Total exposure. What is it that I need to do? Where can I change? What's not working? What's causing my problem? You know, I had a lot of relational problems. And communication problems. And I didn't have a whole lot of financial problems the way that my family had and did, but I had, because I that was one area that really growing up I would watch that part and it really troubled me. And so God had blessed me in the area of finances and to be a good steward of my money, and so I had been wise in that area, but I was not wise in understanding relationships, communication, my self-esteem, my goodness, it was so beat down. And it's not to say that I'm completely set free from falling into prey to the voice of the enemy sometimes that may say something to me that makes me feel less. And every once in a while, I have to start rebuking the devil and the thoughts that he may place in my mind and start speaking life to myself, because the enemy is speaking death to me. However, when I was on this venture to try to figure it all out, a lot of change had to be done within me. And those aren't easy. Change is not easy. You know, because they're emotional, they're mental, they're spiritual connections. These are things that, these are patterns that you've done for 30 years. These are sometimes the only way you've seen it done. You don't know any other way. But I'm always amazed, and I began to work on these things, and over time, things have changed. As I would seek the Lord, He would reveal more and more to me. The more I would seek Him, the more He would reveal, and the better I got. And it's not to say that I, and by no stretch of the imagination am I sitting here saying that I have it all together, because let me tell you, I absolutely don't. But I come out of a real deep, deep bondage in the mind. I was that one who was really oppressed in the mind. And generationally, I mean, I wasn't just my story alone was not where my oppression came from. My oppression was a generational cycle that was just spinning from one child into the next child into the next child. And I did not want my children to go through this. And I began to seek the Lord on that over my lifetime. But I'm sitting here, and as God begins to heal, deliver, and set free, things of that nature, I just think about some of the continued bondage that I see around me. The mind, the oppressive thinking, and the refusal to see outside of what they've been seeing for so many years. And for me, I remember thinking, what I've thought has not worked. This is not working. This is not working at all. I need to think differently. I need to see differently. And my heart's heavy tonight, thinking on people that I care and love so much for, and how much I wish I could help pull them out of that water they appear to be drowning in. But every time I reach out, I get pushed and I get belittled and made to feel as if what I'm thinking is wrong, or that I, you know, even the spirit of, you know, jealousy comes back at me, and a spirit of pride will come back at me. And that's what, you know, attacks me in the person. And over the years, I used to, you know, every time I would grow, I'd want them to grow with me. And I would try to reach my hand out. I would always visualize, you know, me being on this raft, and pulling my arm down, pulling their arm, and trying to pull them onto this raft with me. But I've learned, it's taken me many years, but I've learned within the last several years, and more so, it's really been heavy on my heart in the last year. I've learned that you can't show people what God has shown you until they're ready. And they have to hunger and thirst for that change and to really seek God for themselves. I know there's a better way of thinking, and there's peace, and there's joy, and there's hope, and these sort of those things. But until they desire that, I literally am offensive to them. I literally offend them. And it's not my intentions whatsoever. They almost treat me as if I act as though I'm better than them, and I know more than them, and I'm trying to prove something to them. The reality of it is, they're so wrong. They are so wrong. My heart is to help them see and for them to walk. And yes, my heart's in the right place, but at the same time, it's not my place. You know, it's not. That's between them and God. They are where they're at. If they were to come and ask me things or help, want me to pray with them or seek God for them or want advice, I'm here for that. But I can't force what I know and my thoughts and, you know, or wisdom at times. I can't force that on them. And so there are times when you just, you know, obviously you just pray. You know, you pray. You want them to have more. You love them enough to where you wish they could have the peace. But, you know, I was just thinking about, you know, that tonight and thought, you know, real change comes first and foremost by desire. You know, you got to first see there's a problem. Then you got to have the desire to change it. And then once you have the desire, you've got to be determined. You got to be determined to seek God. You got to be determined to make the change. No matter how uncomfortable or how confusing it almost feels to you to be thinking differently, you have to be willing to think differently, because you know that what you've been thinking, and I mean, I went through this exact process. I was like, I know I was thinking differently, and I knew it felt confusing, and I knew it felt unfamiliar. But I knew it had to be better than how I used to think or how I was thinking at the time, because what I'd been thinking all these years was not working. I was bound. I couldn't see truth. I misinterpreted people, and I misinterpreted conversations, intentions. So even though the new thinking was unfamiliar, a little awkward and uncomfortable, I was willing to go ahead and venture down that path, because I knew the path I was on had led me into a hole that was depression, suicidal, desperate, alone. And what ultimately felt like God was so far from me. And I remember I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I want to be closer to you. There's got to be more. There has got to be more than what I feel right now. Because even though I loved him and I knew he loved me, we were distant. We were distant. And even now, I mean, even as I seek now, there's more. I feel like now I'm just so, because I work so many hours, and I have so much responsibility with my current job, unlike any job I've ever had in my life. It's the most important job I've ever had, and it's the most fulfilling job I've ever had. And the best blessing financially job I've ever had, but it comes with a lot of responsibilities. And my mind is in constant overload with everything. But so sometimes I feel like some of the distance that I have is just because I have so much that's required outside of my ability to get in tune with God in the way that I would like to. And I'm just, when I do have those moments of freedom, it's now it's being pulled by the time I spend with my children and giving them the mother they deserve. But I felt led to share that with you guys tonight. I thank you for listening, especially if you listened all the way to the end. That blesses my heart. Have a blessed night. Until we meet again, may God bless you.